chapter 7, verse 18, of the Bhagavad Gita.
So last week, we had talked about four kinds of devotees. The Lord says that there are four kinds of devotees who approach me. And that's how we approach Him. Some of us are artis. We approach Him for relief from suffering, any suffering I have, any sorrow I have, any disease or illness. So I want relief. Some people are jignyasis, who just want to know about God, just as something to read, something to know, for knowledge. So they want to know, and they're the PhDs and the philosophers, and they read and they study, but it does not really change them internally. They do not really experience His presence. They just know Him as a theory. And then there are others who are thirsty or desirous of wealth, who approach the Lord for wanting something. It could be wealth, it could be power, position, job, whatever. So they are desirous. And then the fourth one is the jnani, or the wise man, the wise person, who approaches the Lord with love and says, Lord, I only want You and You alone. None of these three I want. And I only want You. And the Lord, in the last week we had studied that, He says, such a person loves Me and I love him. Such a person loves Me and I love him. So He says, priyo hi jnani no atyartham aham sacha mama priya. So to Him I am very dear, and to Me He is very dear. So today we shall continue to talk a little more about this subject, because this is a very important subject on what is prayer. Why do we pray to the Lord? Last time we had talked about it, and we shall continue. And how should one pray? And why should one pray? And what is the nature of this wise person? How does he or she conduct himself in this world? We shall talk about that. So we'll spend more time talking about the jnani. We already talked last week in quite detail about these three people, these three kinds of devotees. So, the verse number 18 in chapter 7, he says, Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatmaiva me matam asthita sahi yuktatma svamevanuttamam gatim. So the Lord says all these four kinds of devotees who approach Me, they are all udara, they are all noble. All of them are noble, all of them are spiritual people, all of them are good people. But jnani, but the wise one who approaches Me with love, too, indeed, he is My true self. My true self. That is My opinion. That's what the Lord says. I consider that jnani, that wise person, who approaches Me with love and wants Me and Me alone, does not want relief from suffering, knowledge, not desirous of wealth, but wants Me, he, in My mind, is the most superior. That's the one who is My true nature. That's the one I love the most. And what is his relationship with the Lord? How does he deal with the Lord? He says, asthita. He is firmly established, sir. That individual, it could be man or woman, young or old, black or white, Indian or American, Christian or Hindu, doesn't matter. But whoever that individual is, he indeed, he says, he is yukta atma. His mind is joined with Me. Yukta means he is joined with Me. He is firmly established in that knowledge. And Me alone, the Lord says, he considers Me as the goal, or not only the goal, anuttama. There is no higher goal than Me. That's what he considers the Lord. He says, there are two kinds of people. One who says, God is one among many that I want. I want power, position, wealth. I also want God. And then another one says, no, God is My highest goal. He says, even that is not enough. You should not say, God is My highest goal. God is My only goal. That's the only thing I want in life. So that is the highest form of devotee. So there is the lowest one, the middle one, who says, God is My highest goal. And then the one who says, God is the only goal. That is the only thing I want in life. So, he says, this wise person considers me as the highest goal, the only goal in his life. Now, why does he say that all these people are noble people? You know why? Because at least, as we had discussed last time, if the fact that you go to the church or temple or mosque on Sunday to pray and say, oh God, give me a job. Oh God, my son is sick. Make him well. Oh God, my daughter cannot get married. Find him a boy. So we approach him for asking for all those things. But at least that half an hour or 1 hour you are thinking about me. That's what the Lord says. And then slowly that person evolves to not only thinking for half an hour or 1 hour about God, but thinking about the Lord constantly, praying to him every day. And asking for nothing but the Lord alone, approaching in love. And as we had talked about last time, you know, some people use God as a means. That God is the means and wealth is the goal, or knowledge is the goal, or relief of suffering. So that goal becomes higher than the means. Just as we had talked last time, you use a staircase to climb to the second floor. So the staircase is the means and the second floor is the goal. So then you are using God as a staircase to get something else. The third thing that I heard from Prabhuji, very good. You know, somebody asked last week, he says, should we not pray? You know, if my child is sick, should I not pray to the Lord? Or if I need something and I am in distress, should I not ask him? So he actually, this last week I met him and it was very nice to spend the week with him. He's a wonderful person. And he said, gave a very another beautiful point. He says that we know God is omnipotent. We know that God is all powerful. He can give me relief from suffering. He can give me knowledge. He can give me wealth. We know he's omnipotent, but we don't say he's omniscient. That means he can give me whatever he wants, but he doesn't know it. I have to tell him, oh God, you give me relief. So he does not know that I need relief from suffering because he is not omniscient. I have to tell him, God, give me relief from suffering. God, give me. Well, that means you are limiting his power. That, yeah, he can give me everything he wants, but I need to remind him because maybe he forgot. You know, there's 4 billion people in this earth and how can he remember about all of them? So periodically I have to go to God and remind him, give me this, give me that. Or I submit a list and leave it. Okay, God, now remember, these are the things. So that is foolish. Foolish. Because, you know, the Lord is omniscient. He knows. In fact, he knows what I want even before I know it. So he says, when you approach the Lord, it's not that it is wrong to pray. Yeah, if you have relief from suffering, you can pray. But ultimately, you should understand that, oh Lord, your will be done, not mine, not mine. As Jesus said, whatever is happening as his will. I accept that cheerfully and I say, my will should not be there. My ego should not be there that I am the one doing it. And then somebody will say, you know, the person is suffering. I am suffering. I am sick. So, when you look at the law of karma, why am I sick? Maybe I didn't take care of my diet and maybe I have diabetes or high blood pressure or heart disease. Because I neglected my body, I ill-treated it, I didn't eat properly, I didn't take the medicine, I didn't exercise. So the law of karma is that as you do, so you shall reap. So whatever suffering I am going through, a wise person understands that is a result of my karmas. It could be in this life or it could be in previous lives. You know, like when a child gets sick, we say, well, what did the child do? The child did not do anything wrong in this life, but maybe, you know, there are a lot of karmas that we all don't know about, you know, that we have done not only this lifetime, but multiple lifetimes. So at certain times, these certain karmas mature or fructify and appear as a result. Just as I put my hand in the fire and that get me a result right away. But if I put a mango seed in the ground, that result doesn't appear for 10 years. So two different actions have two different results at different times. So once you understand that, then you know that whatever the suffering is happening is as a result of that karmas, and then you cheerfully accept it. But that does not mean that you don't try to fix it. My child is sick and you don't say, his child is suffering from his past karmas, let him suffer. No, you take him to the doctor, you get him the medicine, you do your best you can to make that child well. And similarly for myself, if I'm sick, yeah, I go to the doctor, I take the medicine, I follow the diet and all the instructions. But underneath, you understand that the Lord is all kind, all merciful. And even if I am getting some suffering, one way to understand is that it is a result of my karmas. Another way, Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary says that the sufferings are like little bitter medicine that is given for me to get well, just as if I go to the hospital and I'm sick. Now the doctor will give me some bitter medicine, will poke needles all over the place and, you know, do all kinds of horrible things that doctors do. You know, look in all different cavities and do all those things. And I say, doctor is making me suffer. No, the doctor is not making you suffer. Yes, you are going through some discomfort, some bitter medicine, so that you may get well. And the doctor has your interest at heart. So similarly, even when I am getting a little bit of sorrow, a little bit of pinpricks, I should remember that it is my merciful Lord who is awakening me. Right now, I am not thinking about Him. I'm so lost in the world. And what happens is that when we get lost in the world, our ego gets strong. You know, I become very successful and I become very powerful and I get a lot of wealth. My ego goes, you know, I am such a great person. I'm so powerful. I can get anything I want. I can buy anything I want. Then we forget who is the one because of Him I have whatever I want. So maybe when I suffer a little failure or a little sorrow, or maybe my market crashes and my money goes down, it is His way of reminding us, you know, to bringing some humility, bringing some love for Him and reducing the ego. So that is what he says, that all these four kinds of people are dear to me, but the one who is dearest is the one who wants me and me alone and does not want anything else from me, does not use me as a means. I had heard another very beautiful example. He said, there is this mother. Now she has three children. She has a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and then a 3-year-old boy. And so all the three children are playing in their playroom and, you know, playing with it. And then the little one starts crying. And she said, what's the matter? These two older brothers, they never let him play. They probably steal his toys and beat him or something. So he goes there. And she starts scolding the two. Did you do anything? No, we didn't do anything. We have been just playing with our toys. And she says, why are you crying? She asked the boy. So he just says, mummy. He says, do you want more toys? He says, no, I want mummy, I want you. So she just holds him and he starts smiling. He puts his thumb in his mouth and he's very happy. Why? He didn't want the toys. He just wanted his mother. He was missing her and he wanted to be held. Now the older two boys, for them, the mother is redundant. You know, mother is only a source for getting the toys. As long as we have the toys, whether the mother is in the room or is not in the room, doesn't matter. As long as she buys me the newest Nintendo or the latest, you know, whatever, I don't know, these new things that keep coming out. But what they want is the latest toy and the latest, and for them, parents are only a source of getting things. But that little 3-year-old wants it. I want only mummy. I don't want any toys. I don't want anything else. So that is what he says, that such a wise person, then that person gets the mother. See, the boys who wanted the toys got the toys, but the one who wanted the mother got the mother. She hugged him and embraced him. So that person who wants me, the Lord says, is the one that is dearest to me. Jesus said that, expressed it very beautifully. He says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So one who sees Jesus can see that Father in heaven. So that is what he says. Such a person is firmly established in his oneness with me. He and I are one. That firm understanding is there in that individual. And then for that individual, there is nothing higher than the Lord himself. In fact, ultimately that person's ego becomes so small that he doesn't think of himself and the Lord as being separate, because he says the Lord is everywhere and he is in me. So what separates us from him are our desires, our selfish vastness, and our ego, our sense of separation, that I am something separate and then he is somewhere sitting far away in heaven up there. And that's why when we say God, we look up, where is God? But they say you should look within, because God is within you as your true nature. God is within you as your true nature. And that is the hallmark of a wise person. That is the hallmark of a true devotee who approaches. And love is a very, very powerful emotion. You know, because what we love is what we want to possess. It may be an individual I love. It may be a position. It may be a power. And love is the most powerful emotion. So they say that turn your love towards him. If you want, if you right now you are desirous of the world, start desiring him. You know, I do not. Right now you want to collect $1,000. So 1,000 times chant his name, Vishnu Sahasranama. Just chant his name 1,000 times every day. Not only 1,000 times, I'll do it 1,000 times, 3 times a day. So 3,000 times a day I will. And people have memorized the Vishnu Sahasranama, the 1,000 names of the Lord. And so just chant. So rather than wanting more and more, we're not saying that you should not have wealth or knowledge or relief from suffering. But having acquired these, then you turn your attention that, okay, I am now financially reasonably comfortable. I have my health. So I turn my attention to the one who has given me everything. The one who, in the 9th chapter, he says, this world is temporary. It can give me joy, but only temporary joy. So having acquired these temporary joys, imam prapya bhajasvama, then turn your attention to me. And remember that the permanent joy can only be there in permanent things. Temporary things can only give me temporary joy. And permanent things can give me permanent joy. So if you want permanent joy, turn towards the Lord, become one with him. And all these saints are beautiful examples where you can see the Lord's presence in them. And that is why they say, get in the company of saints and meet them and learn from them. Because all these beautiful scriptures we have, the Gita, the Bible, the Quran, all have been given to us by saintly people, by prophets. And read them and then try to be in the company of these saints. Tulsidas ji in Ramayana says, he says the company of the saints is very sweet, and it is very auspicious. It is changes your life, makes your life better. And why are these saints revered? Why should they be respected? You know, Tirath Raj is the famous place in India, which is called Sangam in Allahabad, where if you go there, it is considered the most holy place because 3 rivers merge over there. The Ganga, the Yamuna, and then the Saraswati that comes from underneath. And so these 3 rivers represent knowledge, devotion, and service. The Ganga represents devotion to the Lord. The Yamuna represents service. And the river Saraswati represents knowledge. So that's why when a person takes bath in that holy place, it is said that he acquires all 3. He acquires knowledge, he acquires devotion to the Lord, and he acquires service. So when you come in contact with these saints, you realize that they are a mobile tirath. You do not have to go to Allahabad, or you do not have to go to Mecca, or you do not have to go to Bethlehem, but they are places of pilgrimage. And when you are in their presence, you see all 3 in them. In these noble people, you see service, you see devotion, and you see knowledge. like Prabodhji, who came this last week. Beautiful knowledge. He's so young, and so much knowledge he had, so much wisdom, and so much love for the Lord. And he has devoted his whole life to service. And that becomes the source of inspiration to us. You know, that when you meet with these sentient people, and that is what the Lord says, that they represent me. They are myself, my true nature, and I alone, because the Lord himself comes, but he comes in the form of these saints. So he says, that is why to me, that Jnani is the one who is the one I love the most, because he is my true nature. If you want to see me, the Lord says, you can see me in these saints, in these wise people. And their faith in the Lord is unshaken. Their devotion for the Lord is asthita, is completely formed. And that is how our faith in him should be. Total faith, total devotion, and total acceptance. Lord, whatever you are doing, you know best. See, you are not only omnipotent, as we had said, but you are also omniscient. You know what is good for me. Whatever you give me, I will cheerfully accept. I will accept as your prasad. You know, when we go to the temple, the priest gives us a little prasad. He may give us a little sweet, like peda or laddu or something. When we go to the church, they give you that, the sacrament and the bread and all. So that represents the Lord's grace. So when you go to the temple, you don't say, I want that prasad, I don't want that one. No, whatever the priest gives, you cheerfully take it, and then you cheerfully eat it as the Lord's grace. And there you don't say, you know, why he got more, I got more. No, whatever I got is fine, and everybody gets equal. In the temple or the church, everybody gets the same amount of prasad. And whatever you get, you cheerfully accept, you cheerfully eat. So similarly, in life, whatever I get, I take it as the Lord's grace, as the Lord's prasad, and cheerfully accept it, and then move on with my life, and understand that whatever is happening for my betterment. He is a divine doctor. He knows exactly how much medicine I should get, and what is it that will make me spiritually evolve, because he has my interest at heart. He loves me. He is not doing anything out of a desire to be vengeful or for a punishment. Whatever the result of my karmas I am getting, but if I turn to him in love, then A, he will give me the strength to cheerfully bear those karmas, to bear those sorrows. So that is what he says. He is the one. They're all wise people. The Lord says, it's not that they are not good people. The example is like, you know, there is a father and the son calls him only once a month. When he wants the check. Oh, dad, have you sent the check? You know, our children, when they go to college, they only call you when they need the money. Otherwise, they don't have time for the dad. But the dad is still happy. Oh, my son called. At least he called once a month, you know, when he wants money. Because he loves that child, and at least I heard from him once a month. So similarly, the Lord says, even if you call me only once a month or once a year, I'm still happy. At least you call me. But the one I love the most is one who calls me every day. Somebody calls me once a month, somebody calls me once a year, somebody calls me, you know, whenever he needs money. But one calls me every day, and that's the one I love the most. So that is the essence of this. So they say that slowly let us try to evolve. You know, these are all the lower levels of, this is the lowest, the one who only wants wealth. Little higher than him is this one who wants knowledge. A little better is the one who wants relief from suffering, but the highest is who wants nothing. So that is the gradation. Lowest, middle, higher, and then the highest. So let us slowly evolve. Initially I only want things, then I want to know who he is, then I say I want suffering, relief from suffering, but finally I want you alone, nothing else I want. And once you get him, everything else becomes immaterial and everything else comes. It's not that these things will not come to you, but that is not your main goal in life. If you put the effort, you will get wealth, you will get knowledge, you will get relief from suffering. But you will not spiritually progress as much as if you only want it.